Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. And for the first time in 11 years, the Chiefs are 0-2 to start the year.
Yeah, how about that? Something to talk about.
It's something to talk about. There's certainly going to be some panic, some concern. I'm going to tell you this right now. This is the calmest I've ever been with the Chiefs being 0-2 in the history of my 32 years of being a Chiefs fan. This is the calmest I've ever been with the Chiefs being 0-2.
It's hard to overreact when the team has gone on three straight Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Had they not, panic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If this was like a team that was removed a couple years removed from a Super Bowl, had lost a couple, one and done in the playoffs last couple years, and then they start off 0-2, okay, yeah, I could get it.
Well, it was like that, you go back to 2014. Remember? They started 0-2.
Yeah, that was the last time they did, 11 years ago. And they almost made the playoffs that year with Alex Smith as their starting
quarterback. That was the 1 year they didn't. But here's the kicker, though. 2015, the Chiefs started 1-5. But not many people remember that year because that was the year the Royals, of course, they went in 14-2, but they go to the World Series and they win. But the Chiefs actually started 1-5. Then they win 10 straight. And then they win their first playoff game in 21 years and they beat Houston.
Yeah, ugly-ass game from the offense.
And lost the Patriots.
They shut them out. And then they went to New England and they lost to the Patriots. Yeah. So if you're panicking, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the year. Bink doesn't know what's going to happen the rest of the year, but I'm not panicking right now. It's Patrick Mahomes is my starting quarterback. And this team will be better, I think, in a month than they are right now.
Well, here's some numbers, Chris. Since 1990, 32 of 279 teams have advanced the postseason after 0-2 start. That's 11.5%. 32 teams started 0-2 since the playoff expansion. So since they expanded to 7 teams in each conference, 32 teams have started 0-2. Only 6% have made the playoffs. So, I mean, there's some interesting things that can happen for sure. Whether you start off 0-3 or 3-0. 0-3, that's a much more rare thing. Six teams in NFL history have started the season 0-3 and still made the playoffs. 81 Jets, 82 Bucks, and the 92 Chargers. The 95 Lions, 98 Bills, 2018 Texans. So it does happen, but your chances get rarer. But you know what, though, Chris? This is why you talk about the draft, because everything starts with the NFL draft. And you saw a full display in Kansas City with those draft picks of Philadelphia. I'll give Howie Roseman credit, man. He's built that defense up with those Georgia guys. Mm-hmm. And none of that, man. Jalen Carter, you remember I was screaming on this show that teams are making a huge.
I was too.
You know what?
Remember we criticized that
he had the
Falcons
word character concerns. Remember that was the big thing that fit the show. Is he did? But he goes ninth. It's like this dude was going to go one overall. Teams are slipping.
We criticized the Falcons for taking Bijan Robinson instead of taking Jalen Carter. Bijan's great. Bijan looked awesome last night against the Vikings. Too, so. He looked awesome against the Vikings last night.
But Jalen Carter's a different animal.
But Jalen Carter is a different animal. And they probably would be better if they had Tyler Allgeier as their starting running back, and they had Jalen Carter on the defense with the rest of that D-line. Because, man, that Falcons D-line looked pretty damn good right now.
Those defensive backs.
Jalen Walker and the rest of the crew there, they look pretty
good. Jalen and, you know, just the Keon Mitchell.
Yeah.
The cornerback. That's Howie Roseman's done a great job in the draft. You know, Beach has pretty much done a great job in the draft as well. But I do believe there's some work to do in this coming draft.
The biggest and we got to talk about the biggest issue right now with the Kansas City Chiefs running back.
Speaking of draft.
It's a disaster. Like, me and you talked about this all throughout the pre-draft process. Running back, running back, running back, running back. Doesn't have to be round one.
Nope.
Has to be day two or early day three.
This was the year to do it.
This was the year to do it. We harped on this so much. Let me give you all some interesting statistics right now. After the first two games of the regular season for the Kansas City Chiefs. First off, I was wrong about Isaiah Pacheco. I thought Pacheco was going to pop off this year. He is not popping off. His first two games of the season, he has 15 carries, 47 rushing yards. Kareem Hunt has 13 carries, 47 rushing yards. Patrick Mahomes, your starting quarterback.
16th in the NFL in rushing.
13 carries, 123 rushing yards. He has more rushing yards than your top two running backs combined on less carries.
And you know why? First of all, listen, he's trucked two people now.
He looks like Tim Tebow at Florida.
But you always worry about it, too, because quarterbacks do get hurt. This last thing, I understand. Hey, Patrick Mahomes is doing it to fire his team up. I understand why he's doing it, Chris. He was doing it to be something to spark the team against the Chargers, right, in Brazil. He was sparking the team against the Eagles. That's fine, but you don't want to see him get hurt. I mean, they're so cognizant and won't let him do the quarterback sneak.
Yeah,
but he's out here trucking DBs. He's going to get hurt trucking the wrong guy. I mean, I love to see it. I love his attitude. But you and I had we were on like 17, 18 hours this past year. And one thing we kept saying every time the new round would start, say, oh, let's go over some running backs. Who are they going to get? Nobody. Third round. Oh, they're going to get one now.
They got a wide receiver who played 3 years at the position and then switched to running back for a year, and that's the guy that they invested.
And then you and I had to wait till the seventh round, which you and I were actually off the air for part of that round, which is the part that they drafted the running back. And they had to trade the Patriots
literally
to get
right
it.
Right after we got off the air, they we're traded
on
with the
for
Patriots.
Like 17 hours.
and here's the thing about it. You could have had Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt.
Bill.
Who is probably going to be the starting
Didn't
running back.
Did he go by Bill or is the Bob?
Bill.
Bill, that's right, Bill.
Bill's the nickname.
Bill.
But he is someone that is probably going to be the Commander starting running back at some point this year. Especially now that Austin Eckler's hurt.
I think he's done feel right to start him.
Yeah, like they were. I think they were kind of easing him in a little bit, but Kroski Merritt is going to be their guy for the rest of the year, more than likely. And yet, the Chiefs decided, and I understand why you'd be, because he only played, I think, one game last year at Arizona. So I can understand the hesitance with him. But, man, you had opportunity after opportunity. You could have taken Dylan Sampson, your guy. Could have taken Devin Neal, our guy. A lot of options there at running back.
And you know what this year sits, Chris? The draft in Pittsburgh, running back. Because with Pacheco, listen, even if this wasn't his last year, would you really not draft a running back? Of course you would. Yeah. And they're not going to repay him. And what I've always said about Pacheco, man, listen, there's so many people that love Pacheco. He runs angry and, oh, man.
Oh, I love that part about him. He just doesn't run smart.
He runs angry except on third and one and fourth and one.
No.
He'll truck you and he'll run over you except for third and one and fourth and one.
Oh, he goes hard in the paint first down. He lowers his head and just rams right through the defense.
Fourth and one, he better get some blocking or he ain't getting it.
And it's just that's the frustrating part. Like, here's my thing. If Kareem Hunt were 5 years younger, Isaiah Pacheco would never see the field. He would never see the field.
Yeah, vintage Hunt back in 17.
If you got Kareem Hunt in 2020, Isaiah Pacheco is an occasional. He gets three touches a game, if that. Like, to me right now, he's got 15 carries in the first two games. They're trying to avoid. Like, Kareem Hunt, who is much older than him, has almost the same amount of carries as Pacheco.
And he's been getting all the money carries now, obviously. Yeah. I said it at the end of the last year.
He's getting third down.
Towards the end of last year, at the end of the half, end of the game, is a Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
They're doing now.
He's getting third down touches. Like when they did the third and one or whatever, where they did the rollout action over there and they were going to try to hit him in the flats. It was Kareem that got that, not Pacheco.
Which, to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind Mahomes for one out and have the option to pass the run.
Yeah, me too.
Because I have more confidence in him getting the first down than anybody, even though he trucks people.
And on that play, like Zach Bond just did a great job of breaking that play up. Third down, Pacheco. Goal line. I'm not Pacheco, Kareem Hunt. Goal line, Kareem Hunt. Like what? What exactly does Pacheco do well at this point?
Well, you got a title with him, been in a couple Super Bowls with him, got good value out of a seventh rounder.
You did.
But
you
got
a great value out of him.
It's time to do what you do, and it's restock and reload.
Time for you to figure out the running back position. That, to me, is the biggest. Like I'm not being hyperbolic when I say it. The biggest issue they have right now is running back. It is not a first-round need because running back is not a first-round need generally. But
because they've been gun shy since Clyde.
Oh yeah, they have, and that's the reason why they've been trying to find values in the draft.
But Clyde was damn good in LSU, man. He was great.
But
only running back in the history of the SEC to get 50 catches and run for 1,000 yards. Like I understood why they got him.
I didn't, because there were better running backs than Clyde. You had DeAndre Swift, who was a better running back. You had Jonathan Taylor, who was a better running back. You had J.K. Dobbins, who was a better
running back. Agreed, but the one reason I liked him for pass catching. Like, that's the one thing that...
Jonathan Taylor can catch passes,
but Joe Burrow was putting that bad boy right in the basket.
Jonathan Taylor can catch passes, too. DeAndre Swift can catch passes,
too. But Taylor never showed it, remember, until his last year at Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Like, he could catch.
Which happened before the draft.
Yeah, I know, but they made sure that he got those touchdowns.
Yeah, and he showed he could do it.
Yeah.
He showed he could do it, which is the reason why he
had the
better
option.
He was a better option than Clyde was.
Yeah, that was coaching.
Swift was a better option when he was coming out of Georgia than Clyde Edwards-Helaire was.
Yeah.
Like, there was just J.K. Dobbins better at Ohio State than Clyde Edwards. I remember when they drafted Clyde, first off, my first answer was, who the hell is that? Well, because the guys I remember from LSU were Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase.
Yeah,
and Shad Moss and Thaddeus Moss.
Well,
those are the guys I remember from that offense.
There was 14 LSU guys drafted off that LSU team, including Lloyd Cushenberry, their center. But so low pressure on Clyde, obviously.
Yeah.
But he was very good catching the ball and he was very good in pass pro for LSU.
He was good, but you're talking about a 5'6 running back who benefited from having two NFL wide receivers playing on his offense there.
Some of the best of the best.
Yeah, so I'm saying. It's like nobody was focused on Clyde.
These guys just aren't NFL players.
Because
they
were trying to defend the NFL wide receivers that were playing outside.
But they've been gun-shy about it now at this point, but hey, it's time to go.
You got
to
do it
it's
now.
Time to get up.
I understand being gun-shy about it after the Clyde. Grow up. It's time to make it.
Sky Moore didn't work out, but they kept throwing darts at him.
Exactly.
Kept throwing darts.
Exactly.
Got him Rasheed, Brandon Xavier.
Imagine if they got gun-shy about wide receiver after the Sky Moore thing didn't work.
Ugh.
After the Kadarius Toney trade didn't work.
Yeah, we'll go over some of these numbers on where they've been drafting, and this might surprise some people later.
Yeah, well, let's do it now.
Oh, you want to do it now?
Let's do it now. So the Chiefs have drafted, and I pulled the numbers from since 22, because the last time the offense had like real great skill position players was 21. After that year, they traded Tyreek Hill. 21 was the last year.
But that's
that
four
they
drafts.
Had.
That's good. It's four
that's
drafts.
What I'm saying. It's four drafts.
Four drafts.
But like my that's the reason I want to do it, because I want to do it in the post Tyreek Hill era. Because after that, you had to make a bunch of draft picks to try to replace your talent. Because you lost Tyreek because you traded him. You lost Sammy because Sammy was kind of old at that point and had lost that burst. So you had to retool your offense. Since 2022, they've made 31 total draft picks in the four subsequent drafts since they traded Tyreek Hill. They have taken seven offensive skill position picks, which is about 22% of their draft picks, which if you base it on the 14 different position groups that exist in football, 15 if you want to count long snapper, it's about 22%. It's a little bit over 20% of your picks that you have spent have gone to offensive skill position players.
Now that you've built your defense, you look at this, though, you do have an elite quarterback. Sometimes you see it with elite quarterbacks, you see a higher number of percentages.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think that number's fine. I'm cool with the number of picks that they've spent on the offensive skill position players. The one problem I have is the fact that they seem to be dead set on trying to get bargain bin running backs since the Clyde Edwards-Helaire pick didn't work out.
Out of those seven picks, four of them wide receivers.
Yeah.
You obviously got the first round with Worthy, a four with Royals, and then two Moore twos. and was two, and Rice was two. Running backs, two of them, but both seventh round.
Both seventh round.
One tight end, Jared Wiley, that was fourth round.
Yeah, which I'm not going to get on about tight end because...
So you have three of the seven, fourth round and beyond.
Yeah, most tight ends in the league aren't super big contributors.
Mahal Kelsey was a third rounder.
That's what I'm saying. Kelsey was a third. So, like, I'm not... And also, how many times have we seen teams draft a tight end in round one and it doesn't work out? Happens all the time. So I'm not tripping about tight end. I'm not tripping about receiver. I actually think they've been more than aggressive at trying to fix the receiver position. You've just had some bad luck lately. But running back has to be better. To me, Andy's legacy when he was at Philly was his ability to find and develop great running backs that were both great when they carried the ball and great when they caught passes. And because of that, he was able to establish the deep ball because teams could not be married to, hey, we're going to play too high and just dare you to run the football and throw it short.
And pass pro is certainly very, very important.
Yeah. And the problem is that they've been so gun-shy about pulling the trigger at running back ever since the Clyde pick. And it's like, look, man, you got to go with the flow with the league. And right now, the meta in the league is go get yourself a great running back and it takes your offense to the next level. Because look at Philly. What was Philly's offense before they got Saquon? Good, but not that great. They were pretty good. Just they were not consistently in that upper
echelon. One of their better pieces, Dallas Goedert, didn't even play.
You add Saquon to that offense, whole new level.
Good line, great line.
Yeah, great line, but you add Saquon to that whole new level. What happened to the 49ers before they had Christian McCaffrey? They were a very good offense. Like, what was his name? Elijah Mitchell, great rookie year. Ran for 1,000 yards his rookie year with
the 49ers. Inactive for the Chiefs in two straight weeks.
Jordan Mason was a good...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Back, he was a good starter for them. As soon as they got Christian McCaffrey, their offense went to a whole new level. The Packers with Josh Jacobs, whole new level with their offense. You got to be aggressive at going with what is working in the league. And right now, having yourself a really good running back makes it a hell of a lot easier for the rest of your offense. And nobody respects the run game for the Chiefs right now. Nobody's loading up the box, unless they're going to blitz. Nobody's loading up the box against the Chiefs.
Well, the good news is Brett Veach was a scout at that point when they drafted Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
He was a scout at that point. 17, I think Dorsey did that draft because Mahomes was in that draft. And
yeah, but Kareem was 16.
Was he? I thought he was 17.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right. It's 17.
17. But
right.
Veach,
but
I know.
That was a Dorsey pick. Yeah.
It was, but Veach was the scout on Kareem Hunt. Yeah. Even though he was kind of designated the SEC, Brett Veach was very high on Kareem Hunt. And I remember the stories. We had Veach on back in the day on the day shift, I think it was. And he was talking about Kareem Hunt and how he'd go by Indy's office and say, "Hey, you watching some action? You watching this kid from Toledo?" So I do have faith. I do have faith in Veach with running backs because you know what? Pacheco did get him a couple rings. So
I mean, Pacheco didn't get him a ring. Pacheco was on teams that won rings.
But I do have faith.
They've never relied heavily on Pacheco.
But he was a big Kareem guy. So
yeah, and that's the thing though is like I trust them to pick the right guy. Just go do it. Like stop trying to find bargain bin running backs at the end of the third day of the draft and go use a meaningful pick on running back.
Yeah, thankfully, the Patriots have been very willing trade partners with the Kansas City Chiefs in the last couple of years.
Just make a damn pick. Just pick somebody. Like, look, I understand the idea of wanting to get the most value where you can and all of that. I respect that. But you can't do that with every position. Like, you can't go find bargain bin left tackle. Like, think about it. The Chiefs still were trying to find bargain bin left tackles like they've been the last few years. You know what happened? You used a first-round pick on a guy that fell, who would have been a top-10 big pick before. He gave up zero pressures yesterday against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Like, he
had almost a 90, which I don't care about.
Because the Kings experiment didn't work at tackle.
I don't care about PFF grades, but he got a 90. He got an 87.9% pass blocking grade from PFF. I don't care about the grades, but that's what he got. He's zero pressure.
Which was a big improvement from the first game.
He didn't have a bad first game, but still.
He didn't.
Big
penalties set him back.
He looked like a pro. And he also had that highlight where he chased down the guy who picked off Mahomes' pass at the goal line.
That was like one of my favorite plays I've seen.
It was great. It was great.
Because of his effort. I mean, his effort was
incredible.
And his size, undeniable. 18 miles an hour, you kidding me?
Yeah, left tackle, right down the field, trucks a guy.
That was a great effort. One of my favorite Chiefs play from the last couple of years, man. It's unbelievable.
Like, but that's what I'm talking about, though. It's like, I just use a meaningful draft pick. Stop trying to get bargain bin players. Use a meaningful draft pick on a position that matters.
Yeah, they got lucky on this one. Because like you said, without the injury, he's top 10.
Yeah.
He's before Kelvin Banks. He's before
100%.
Mimbu. He's before...
He's the number one tackle. Hell, he might even be top five. There might be a team on there that's like... They might have taken him... The Patriots might have taken him as the top tackle in that class.
Because they went... Instead number of Will four. Campbell. They go
they
number
took Will Campbell fourth.
Was he fourth? Okay, fourth.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was fourth.
So Campbell goes fourth, and he had shorter arms, too.
That's right, yeah. He might end up as a guard, but maybe they decide to move him in, to take Simmons and use him as a left tackle there. Like, he might have been a top five pick, and you got him at pick 32. Just use a damn meaningful pick on a running back. That's all I ask. That's all. Just find a running back that you can go out there and trust. He can be a 1,000-yard rusher, and he can also be meaningful in the passing game as a receiver, and he can pass protect, which, you know, again, a lot of teams like to do that with the committee. It'd be nice if you had a James Cook. You know, it'd be nice if you had a Josh Jacobs. It'd be nice if you had a Derrick Henry, which, you know, Derrick Henry's don't grow on trees. But it'd be nice if you had a guy that you could trust for three downs.
Could have had J.K. Dobbins.
Could have had J.K. You could have had Jonathan Taylor.
For 2 years in a row, you could have had him.
I mean, you could have – hell, they could have had Javonte Williams this offseason.
J.K. just gave him their touchdown this weekend.
Yeah, Javonte looked really –
He had a good year with the Chargers once he came back from the injury.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they could have had Dobbins.
Yeah, they could have had Javonte Williams, who's looking really good in Dallas right now. You had a lot of options.
Remember they brought him in to talk to him, too.
They did bring in J.K. to talk, and then they were like, no. I would prefer that over Elijah Mitchell.
Same. Didn't trust injury history, I guess, but you know
couple
what?
Other, couple
They've been
other
pretty
rookie.
Damn good on injuries lately.
Yeah, we went really long on this topic. That's how passionate we are about it. A couple other rookie performances we do got to talk about. Omar Norman Lott flipped the hit stick on Jalen Hurts.
Hardest I've ever seen Hurts get
he
hit.
He destroyed him. And Hurts is not small. Hurts is like 6'1", 6'2".
He has one of the better squats on the team.
He's a 400-pound squat for someone who is... About 6'1", 6'2", 240.
Yeah, he's strong. But
he trucked him.
But he was playing from the three technique.
Yeah, he's playing from the three, which is where he looks like he's lost a little weight, too. Which
he looked lean.
He looked lean.
His little post-game interview.
He looked like he had a little bit more burst to him. I was very happy when I saw. This is what, remember when they signed, when they traded for Derek Nnadi, I was like, hopefully they have Omar cut some weight and they use him as a three tech like he should have.
But keep this in mind, he's in a better position now. Chiefs are trying to force this nose tackle business on Omar.
Yeah. Don't try to force and make somebody something they're not. Because
that's not why he was great in college.
Yeah, because here's the thing.
Pass rush.
Here's the thing, and I didn't know this before the draft. He had to gain 15 pounds to get to 290 before last season. So he was playing at 275 the year before at Tennessee. He had to gain 15 pounds to get to 290 to play.
Made the difference in his upper body strength.
Yeah. So, like, you're now asking a guy who just got good at playing at 290 a year ago to now start playing at 315, and you expect him to be good at that weight?
You and I both like him. You like him a lot. But keep in mind, you won't find starts because it's not the way Tennessee did things. Six-man rotation on defensive line. He was part of it, but he was number one in the nation getting to the quarterback.
I don't get that.
From the defensive line.
I'm happy it looks like he's cut some weight and you're starting to get some results here. Hopefully that's a growing. It wasn't like he destroyed the dude and got to him. It was very much a coverage sack, but still, that's good progress. That's better than what I saw in the preseason, because in the preseason, he looked slow. He looked like he was uncomfortable. And I at least saw a little bit of juice out of him in the Philly game. Another guy, your guy, Noel Williams. Christian Fulton comes in, plays limited snaps, gets hurt, re-injures the ankle that he's had issues with. He's had issues with his knee and his ankle. But most recently, I believe it was the knee. I mean, it was the ankle that was the issue. He re-injures it, leaves the game. Your boy, Noel Williams, comes out there, plays outside corner. Looked good. I like what I saw from Nolan.
You see that physicality from him. And again, I think Spags, even though the sack numbers weren't there from Cal and River, but did lead the nation in interceptions. We know we can do, but he's very, very physical. He's a smart guy. We had his head coach on from Cal, and he was saying, hey, you know, take what you want from coaches, whatever they say. But when they say stuff like first one there, last one to leave, guy always picking the brain of everybody else on the team, he was drafted for a reason.
Yeah.
And he's a smart guy.
He's you could definitely tell he treats it like he's a pro.
I like Noel, man.
Yeah. I like what I saw.
He's going to make plays this year. People are like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to make some picks or whatever. I do believe he will get in the pick category because people are going to pick on him.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be throwing at him.
100%, yeah.
And he'll get his chance. And you saw his athleticism.
Yeah. He did a good job. Like, the one play he had where he broke up an attempt by Devontae Smith to catch down the sidelines, deep down the field. He did a really good job.
That's tough because Devontae makes great breaks in the ball. Ask McDuffie about that. I mean, he makes great breaks.
He was able to stay with Devontae down the field. Devontae went up to try to catch. He tried to moss him, and Noel just pushed him straight into the ground. he hurt him a little bit too because Devontae's not that big. He's like
a small guy. Size,
but hey, like he was able to go out there. He did a good job turning his head around too, so that he didn't get called for DPI. I was impressed with what I saw the from the snaps from Noel. So. Overall, I'm not panicking about 0-2. It doesn't feel good for them to be 0-2, but I'm not panicking right now. And I'm happy we're starting to see something from.
Hey, you'd be 1-1 if you're playing the Bears or somebody like that, the Panthers.
Hell, the Giants might be the perfect team for an 0-2 Chiefs team.
Like 5.5-point favorites, I think, so far early.
Yeah, and it's in New York, so yeah, it's that might come down a little bit. I wouldn't be shocked if it comes down a little bit, but yeah.
But that was a smash mouth game.
Yeah,
Chiefs and Eagles.
So let's get to our Week 3 recap. Starting off with Ohio taking on number 1 Ohio State. Ohio State won 37-9. Big performances here. Carnell Tate really, really looked like a first-round receiver in this game. 5 catches, 101 yards.
Ohio State's getting to be known as that wide receiver machine.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't even the best receiver on his team. Obviously, Jeremiah Smith was better than him. But Carnell Tate is draft eligible.
We'll be talking about Jeremiah a lot next year.
We will be, yeah. He's going to be probably a top 5 pick in 27. His teammate Bo Atkinson, edge rusher, also had a sack in that game. Penn State took on Villanova. They won 52-6. Drew Aller, not super impressive numbers-wise, 290 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. But that running back duo that the Nittany Lions
have. Best in the nation.
Catron Allen, who may end up being the best running back in this class. Supposed to be Nick Singleton. I thought it was going to be Nick Singleton before the year. Might be Catron Allen. Catron Allen is, I think, their leading rusher on the year. He's got 10 carries, 86 yards, and a touchdown in this game. Meanwhile, Singleton was less efficient. He had twice as many carries with 20. He had less yards at 84, but he did have one more touchdown with 2. So Catron Allen, I mean, I probably should have put him as my moneymaker. I did not, but I probably should, because Catron Allen, I think, is making himself a lot of money with how he's played. Florida
stole
took on
one of my guys. So we'll get to that.
Yeah, did I? I always
he stole one of my
I
guys.
I always seem to take one of your guys.
Well, I knew it. I knew. I was like, and I looked. What? I guess there's going to be times where I try not to get the same ones you do, because there are 4 worthy money makers. But I mean, somebody really shines.
The
sometimes.
One I took for you was probably the easy one.
Yeah. But I
always try to find like more obscure ones. And the guy that we didn't talk about him very much at all. So I tried to sneak him in there. But I was like, I bet you Bink's probably like, he took my guy again.
Dude, I was all over that.
So LSU took on Florida down in Baton Rouge. Garrett Nussmeier, another unremarkable performance from him. He did have 220 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Aaron Anderson, though, man, this kid, he's going to be undervalued at wide receiver, I think.
They have 3 draft eligible, I think.
He had 4 catches, 75 yards. Aaron Anderson is explosive. If their offense were more effective, if Garrett Nussmeier were more effective, Aaron Anderson would be talked about as a surefire first-round receiver. He is electric after the catch.
See, I like Nussmeier a lot, and I think he'll start to get – well, he's already
– I hope for his sake he does. And you can see the arm talent. I just haven't been impressed with the decision-making and how he runs the offense.
Well, he's dropped a lot in the Heisman Trophy odds.
Yeah.
But he was right up there at the top. But, of course,
he was probably number 2 behind Arch, right?
But you have Jean Mateer. Yeah, it was right behind. But Nussmeier's good. Could have gone to the NFL last year. But you're talking about some of the best quarterback class. And I know we'll talk about a different time. But you were kind of hoping a lot of quarterbacks go in the first round and make the Chiefs pick.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit something. But these first-round quarterback types aren't looking like first-round quarterback types so far this year.
No.
Like the Drew Allers, the world, the Cade Klubnicks, the
They've just looked fine at quarterback.
It's been Mateer and Beck and guys like that, and I don't know if you want them to lead your team. I think Mateer could maybe do it better than Carson Beck.
Me too. I think Beck is overhyped, but certainly everything I've seen, there's a lot of teams out there that have convinced themselves that Carson Beck is a first-round pick at quarterback. So we'll see. But, yeah, Aaron Anderson looked spectacular. I'll tell you, one guy did not put on here, but he looked amazing, was Caleb Banks, defensive tackle for Florida. Very Chris Jones-like. He's
that was
massive.
The bright spot.
He was massive. The lone bright spot for Florida. Him and Jayden Ball were like the only two. And Vernell Brown, the 3rd, looked awesome.
Back-to-back losses has that crew just mad out there missing the boards.
Napier's days are numbered there in Gainesville. But Caleb Banks looked awesome. He was disruptive in the pass game and the run game. And I think that he's somebody that is going to be a first-round pick at defensive tackle. Hopefully he can fall to the Chiefs. I would love for them to get him round 1. But, yeah, I think he's going to be spectacular. USF, they made the trip down to Miami to take on Florida. They got whooped. They lost by 37.
And, this an impressive win by Miami because USF was a team.
That was
Byron Brown, their quarterback. I love the way he's played. Mm-hmm. They beat back to back top 25 teams before getting hammerjacked.
And they handled Boise State too.
And Carson Beck. Hey, it's a crowded field for quarterbacks in the draft this year. Certainly, I don't think that Carson Beck is a first or second rounder at this point. Now, going into last year when he's at Georgia, probably could have been thought to be that, but he's starting to climb the charts. And again, he's one of the draft odds or the Heisman favorites now at Miami because he transferred down there.
Yeah, so he had 340, three touchdowns. He also had two picks. And you know, one thing I always say is like, if you have interception issues in college, you're going to have them in the pros because defensive coordinators are just way better.
Five incompletions, though, 340 yards.
Yeah, really efficient aside from the picks. So, Georgia took on Tennessee in the game of the week. This game went to overtime. Georgia won 44-41.
Right, the same time as West Virginia and Pitt, man. We had dueling overtime games.
I didn't see that game. I was watching Georgia-Tennessee when I got home from work. But Stockton, 304, two touchdowns. Gunnar Stockton, I said this at the beginning of the year.
He's climbing. This guy is climbing.
He's climbing. I liked him from what – I liked what I saw from him when he last year in the playoff game. And, Stockton, I think he's definitely shown that
– one of the things I talked about, Chris, is Georgia's demeanor, how it kind of reminds me of the Chiefs run because they're always good, right? And they win the back-to-back titles. But you saw Kirby – like, he didn't flinch, right? It's very Andy Reid-ish, right? They don't flinch. And you let them hang around like the Chiefs do. Like, the Bulldogs, Tennessee should have jacked them.
Yeah.
I mean, they had
they
them
were
right where they
were up by double digits like a couple times in the game.
And they should have got them. But the thing about Georgia is they'll hang around. They'll let you make mistakes. And at the end, guess what? You lose.
Yeah. And that's exactly what happened.
That's why on Sunday I was talking on after. I was saying, Georgia reminds me of the Chiefs. Well, not this year's Chiefs team, but usual Chiefs teams.
The usual, yeah. They're always in it.
Don't let them hang around.
Wide receiver Zachariah Branch, five catches for 69 yards and a touchdown for the Bulldogs. Texas took on UTEP, 127-10. Another unimpressive performance from Arch Manning. He had 114 passing yards, a touchdown, a pick, and he also had 51 rushing and two rushing touchdowns.
He's the Manning that runs.
Yeah, when I went back and watched the film on that game, I was so unimpressed with him. I think his grandpa was right.
I think the kid's going back to Texas.
Yeah, I think we're talking maybe 2027.
But keep this in mind too. Texas always recruits those 5-star quarterbacks too. So
right.
Yeah. Yes, it should be his job. It should be his job to lose. But I'm just saying, they're going to bring in some gunslingers, man.
Oh yeah, there's going to be some competition for sure.
And there's a reason why. Because this did stand out though as a red flag when he's not beating out Quinn.
Couldn't beat out Quinn.
And that's a red flag.
I said it at the beginning of the year. I said it all throughout the offseason. I said it last year when everyone was talking about Arch as, oh, he's going to be the number one pick in 26. I was like, hold up. He couldn't beat out Quinn Ewers. And Quinn Ewers was a guy who, remember in 23, going into 23, during the 23 season, we were talking about him as a potential first round pick.
Couldn't be worthy down the field.
I was skeptical of it, but I was like, it's possible. He could be a first-round pick in 24.
But I don't think it's way too soon to give up on Arch. I mean, he's getting advice from Peyton and Eli. He's Cooper's kid, but I guarantee you Peyton and Eli are in his ear.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing about Arch. He hasn't played very much college football.
No, he hasn't. But when you get phone calls coming in from Eli and Peyton, yeah.
And also,
it's different than anybody else has.
A lot of these teams now, first off, you don't have the gross overstocking of talent that teams like Texas and Alabama used to have. Because a lot of these guys now are being spread out over different schools. So there's more parity now. Like, you're not – like, if this was the Texas team from 10 years ago, they probably beat the hell out of UTEP by 40 points. But – because there's more parity, teams like Texas don't stockpile talent the same way they used to. And that means that there's better competition out there. And you know, Arch is someone that it's going to take some time for him to learn how to play at this level because the defenses have gotten a lot better. He was very confused by all the disguising that defenses were doing, that like Ohio State was doing week one.
Matt Patricia really got it because that's pro style there.
And like, I guarantee you all these DCs, they're starting to pick up on that and they're adding that into their games now because you're seeing a lot of NFL guys go to the college level. So yeah, there's absolutely much more NFL style call playing out there offensively and especially defensively. And it's been an adjustment. Like I think we have seen a lot of like 70 burgers that have happened, but we've also seen a lot of really good teams play some teams that we generally see them beat by like 40 points, and they're beating them by like 20 something because it's a lot harder to go out there and score. So.
Let's see what he does when he gets into some SEC play.
I'll say this, man.
They play Sam Houston State this week. So.
That should be a beatdown. But yeah, once he gets into conference play, especially when they play like in Oklahoma or whatnot.
Week five, they're off. So it's going to be week six before you actually see like, Arch play a SEC team when he plays Florida.
Yeah.
Plays your Gators.
Yeah. So, and Florida's defense is pretty good. So. That might be some issues for them. We'll see. I say that, and then they'll win by like 40. And then we'll see the coach get fired. Temple took on Oklahoma. Oklahoma, they did what good teams used to do all the time against bad teams. They beat the hell out of them, 42-3. John Mateer, 282 passing yards. He had a touchdown. He also had a pick. He's got to work on those picks. He's turned the ball over too much. But he also has 63 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown.
This guy could see himself in the first round, to be honest with you. Not only that, he's got that Jalen Hurts leg strength.
Yep. He reminds me a lot of Jalen Hurts when he played at Oklahoma.
He does.
And so I definitely think there's a future on Sundays for Mateer. Wisconsin took on Alabama, and Alabama won that game 38-14. Jeremy Bernard, 4 catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown. LT Overton, the edge rusher for the Crimson Tide, had a sack. And then finally, Arizona State, Texas State.
One thing about that Bama game.
Oh, yeah.
That Ty Simpson, you're talking about a guy here that will be draft eligible.
Yeah.
I will say this much about Ty, and he's a dual threat type guy. He waited his turn at Alabama. He's completing like 80% the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like he is on a heater throwing the football.
Yeah. I haven't been super impressed with him yet. I want to see what he does in conference play, but. Yeah, Ty Simpson has definitely gotten a lot better, but I'm reserving that for what happens when they start playing conference play. Cause
it's much better, obviously, than the game at Florida State.
Yeah, he's been a lot better than
but he's climbing up the odds and stuff and the Heisman odds because of the last 2 weeks. Again, he didn't miss. Like last 2 weeks, he's been on point.
Yeah,
and Missouri will see Alabama here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so like I said, we'll see about that. I want to see him play like a real like top end SEC defense. Then I'll start singing Ty Simpson's praise.
Chris, Simpson was 82.8%, the 382 yards and the 4 touchdowns. I mean, this guy, he was 100% against Louisiana Monroe because he was 17-17. It was a blow, but he was still 17-17. He's got 7 touchdowns, and he's completed 100% and 82.8% with 7 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. So I said, this guy's not either.
Yeah. He absolutely is. And then, yeah, finally, Arizona State taking on Texas State. Sam Levitt, not been that great the last couple weeks. Here, he was 188 passing yards, 2 touchdowns.
And that was maybe going to be a first-rounder.
Yeah, that was a guy we were talking about as potential, could work his way to the first round. Also 59 rushing and a touchdown as well. But his top receiver, Jordan Tyson, had another good week with 105 receiving yards
and he'll be
touchdown.
One of the top 3 receivers.
He will be a first-round pick. He's probably going to be top 15 in the draft this year. So look out for him. Right now, I think everyone still has him as their wide receiver 1 for this year's draft, for next year's draft. So definitely look out for that. As for moneymakers, let's get to our moneymakers. My moneymaker that I stole from you inadvertently was Tennessee wide receiver Chris Brazel. 6 catches, 177 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns against Georgia. His last two games that Tennessee has played in, 302 receiving yards, 5 touchdowns the last 2 weeks.
And this guy wasn't even on maps
when
you looked at
somebody. Nobody was talking about this guy at all.
He's 6'5 and flies. He was taking some to the house. Brazel to me, is that Mac went to Tennessee. So I was like, dude, you got one here, man.
Yeah.
this kid with Aguiar quarterback, this guy Brazel, he's impressed me more than any receiver in the country.
He's definitely come out of nowhere, for sure.
He didn't do it against nobody. He did against Georgia.
Yeah, he did against Georgia, and he basically had the Jalen Hyatt-type game where Hyatt just destroyed. What was that? That was Alabama they destroyed.
Brazel looks like he's kind of finally putting it together. He's in that frame, that 6'5". He's over 200 pounds. But, man, this kid, 6'5", is interesting. We'll see what he runs. See what he runs at the 40.
I'll say this. Brazel could work his way up to being up there with Tyson and them if he continues on this type of run. Because if he does continue on this type of run against the SEC with that type of physical talent, I wouldn't be shocked if he was the top receiver off the board this year. What were we going to say?
Well, I was just Brazel is as far as what he's done. Because at Tulane, he was one catch, 11 yards his first year, then 44 for 7-11.
Yeah, he had
28 for 325 at Tennessee last year. And he's
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Already at 20 this year. So he's starting to get on the board. 6'5", 200 pounds.
His first three games, he's already gotten like half of what his production was his last year.
So. And you got quarterback Aguiar is doing a great job. Aguiar
is definitely.
And Heupel's a big.
I'll say this. They look a lot better with Aguiar than they do with Iamaleava last year.
He does, man. So he looks better.
Who's your first moneymaker?
First moneymaker, you took him, but I'll take somebody else. Oh, Carson Beck. I know he threw a couple picks there at Miami, but he's jumping up to number two in the Heisman odds on DraftKings at this point. 23 of 28, just 5 incompletions, 340 yards, 3 touchdowns, but he used his legs a bit. 6 carries, 28 yards, and another touchdown, so he counts for 4 touchdowns in the game. But the 28 rushing yards, then throwing for 340, took some chances there with the picks, but still, 5 incompletions. I thought Carson Beck. And listen, they're playing a top 20 team that beat back-to-back top 25 ranked teams in the AP. So Carson Beck gets my first moneymaker.
My second moneymaker, USC wide receiver Mekhi Lemon.
Mm.
Right now he's top 10 in receiving yards. I think he's just over 300, right around 300. And one of the things that was interesting to me is looking at where people were ranking him. This was a guy that was not first round ranked going into the season. He was someone that was probably like mid rounds. And I'm seeing a lot of places where they think he's up there with Jordan Tyson, Carnell Tate. Some people have him as a first round pick at wide receiver.
Kind of the same scoop with Brazel.
Yeah. Just kind of come out of nowhere. Bigger, you know, he's got some good size to him. Mekhi Lemon has definitely started to shoot up some boards. He's had some good production, a little bit down this past week, but I think it was a couple weeks ago he was over 100 receiving yards. He's had a nice performance this year, and he's someone that I think we talked about at the beginning of the year that this probably wasn't the receiver class, anywhere close to the receiver class that next year, like 27 draft is. But some of these guys are starting to fly up boards, and Mekhi Lemon and Chris Brazel are definitely two of the guys.
Yeah, you want to see him play it. 10 o'clock. They play Michigan State at 10 o'clock at night, so when your day's set. USC, by the way, they're 3-0 right now, and if you haven't seen them, this offense – is scoring 55 a game.
They're number two.
They're only behind Texas Tech in points per game, but they are putting up points, and that's a big reason why. My second moneymaker, Chris, is Arkansas quarterback Talen Green. Listen, he's listed about 10th or 12th in most quarterback rankings as far as what they're doing, but Talen Green, 22 of 38, 305, and he ran the ball 14 times for 115 yards and a touchdown. Listen, they were playing a conference game. They're playing Ole Miss. And Ole Miss going with the backup quarterback that came from Division II, believe it or not, Ferris State. There was a quarterback battle, an offensive display when Arkansas and Ole Miss were playing. But it was a conference game. It was on the road. But he throws for over 300, rushes for over 100. I think Talen Green, a guy that a lot of people are interested in because of his size. He's got a 6'6" frame at quarterback, so he's got that drop back passability. But he's also a damn good runner.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. If especially with that size, like the arm talent really is going to be the big deciding factor there. You know, because that sounds like very Josh Allen.
He's outside the top 10 quarterbacks.
Yeah, if he has elite arm talent, then somebody will take him as a project. But if he doesn't, then yeah, I don't know how high he goes up.
Well, so, last year he threw for 28-13, and he ran for 521. He's already ran for 307 this year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
521 was the most he's done.
Yeah, so he's established himself as a runner for
he's
sure.
He's 6'6", 235.
Yeah,
he's a big dude.
Josh Allen size for sure. So let's get to our week four watch list, starting out with the Saturday morning slate. There's a couple of games to look out for there. The disappointing Clemson team host Syracuse. Kate Klubnik falling down boards right now.
More pissed, Clemson, Florida, or K-State? We're talking all three teams Clemson. Had good expectations.
Because Clemson had real national title expectations.
They stayed at playoffs and winning the Big 12.
Yeah, look, I thought that was delusional. And I didn't – as much as I was hoping that people were going to be right about Florida, I didn't think that Florida was going to be that hot this year. I was like, you have the toughest schedule in the nation, and you don't have a great coach. Like, Napier's a great recruiter. He's not a great coach. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't too high on Florida this year. Clemson, though, yeah, they have real expectations this year. Real expectations to win the ACC.
With a first-round quarterback.
And real expectations to have a bunch of guys go in the first two rounds of the draft.
Possibly the first quarterback taken before the season.
Possibly. We talked about Klubnik as a guy who could play himself into the first round. He has played himself out of the first round thus far. But, I mean, hey, maybe he makes a comeback and maybe he starts, you know, rising up boards again. Kate Klubnik for Clemson. Antonio Williams, wide receiver for Clemson. Man, they have like arguably the best players at like multiple positions, especially on defense. Like TJ Parker, edge rusher, Peter Woods, defensive tackle, Avion Terrell, corner.
Studs.
Great players.
And Peter Woods, defensive tackle, man.
Yeah,
this guy's
he's awesome. And they do not look like a good football team at all. And it's gonna be tough when they start playing more conference games. Like this is obviously a conference game. What happens when you start playing more? It's gonna be tough. So UAB takes on number 15 Tennessee. Couple guys to watch out for: Chris Brazel and edge rusher.
Brazel, buddy, our new guy to watch.
Yeah, I'm gonna really dive more into the film on Brazel for sure. But yeah, he's definitely a guy to look out for now. He's definitely someone to look out for. Saturday afternoon slate. This is probably the best matchup of the weekend. Auburn makes the trip down to Norman to take on the Sooners. Actually, they make the trip up to Norman because they're coming from Alabama. Jackson Arnold,
which is interesting because he's a former Sooner quarterback going home.
Yeah, he's been up and down as a passer, but you know, still been pretty effective. Damari Alston, running back for the Tigers, has not been that productive since the Baylor game. Jeremiah Cobb, though, their other running back, has been, so look out for him. Eric Singleton Jr., the wide receiver, Xavier Chaplin, left tackle. I see some promise with him, but he's got something to work on with this game. Connor Lue could be the best center in the draft class. And then edge rusher Keldrick Falk and cornerback Rayshon Pleasant as well to look out for on the defensive side. For OU, you got John Mateer. Could be a first-round pick at quarterback. Looks really good.
Let's hope he stays there, right? Get as many first-round quarterbacks as you can get for the Chiefs.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm
not,
definitely
not saying the Chiefs are going to draft them, but
oh, no,
you know
but
what I'm saying?
I want them to be
teams
ahead
would
of
take
the
them and leave, yeah. leave the Josh Simmons types.
Yeah, leave Caleb Banks for
leave
the
Caleb
Chiefs
Banks.
Late in the first round. Keontez Lewis, wide receiver for the Sooners. Deion Burks, that's another guy to look out for the Chiefs on day two, potentially. And then edge rusher R. Mason Thomas. Michigan takes on Nebraska over in Lincoln. And Justice Haynes, the running back for the Wolverines. Edge rusher Derek Moore.
Speaking of running backs to watch.
Yep.
Transfer from Alabama.
Yep. And linebacker Jayshon Barham. Yeah. I'll tell you this. Justice Haynes in this Chiefs offense?
Yeah.
Man, he'd be so good.
And he might be, I mean, they're going to have an opportunity at him.
I think so, too. I think day two, I think they're going to have an opportunity at him. Maybe end of round one. We'll see. Oregon State takes on, and also for Nebraska, Dane Key, wide receiver. I think he's going to be a good mid-round option for somebody. Oregon State takes on number six, Oregon. For Oregon, you've got Mekhi Hughes, running back. You got tight end Kenyon Sadiq. You got tackle Isaiah World. Some people think he's the best left tackle in this class. Linebacker Bryce Botcher. And then safety Dylan Thienemann. So good talent for Oregon. Not the stacked team that we've seen in previous years, but still a very good football team.
Oregon, there's a lot of prospects up there. And, you know, Dan Lanning does a good job with those guys. But, you know, you don't want to forget about the quarterback,
Dante Moore,
he's a stud.
Yeah, former UCLA quarterback, transferred over. They keep stealing quarterbacks from California because they also got that Sago Patele kid before he got his release and transferred back to Cal. Saturday evening, you got Sam Houston taking on Texas. Look, Arch has got to look great in this game. He's got to look great. You don't get very many beatdowns like this left in the season because they're about to get into their conference play. And, man, it's going to be tough this year. The defenses are a lot. Like, you're going to be facing a whole lot of Ohio State-level defenses in the SEC. So you got to get it together if you're Arch. Otherwise, it's going to be a tough year for him. Jack Indries, tight end for the Longhorns. Not getting a ton of volume, but every time he makes the most out of every catch he gets. So
in that Gunnar Helm type role from last year. And by the way, mm-hmm. Dante Moore he's just sophomore this year.
Yeah,
so he's not
draft eligible.
Sure.
No,
but he will be.
He's a guy to look out for in 2017.
Next year we talk Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams.
Like I said, because he was same class as Iamaleava, I think. I believe so. I believe he was same class as him. But yeah, you got DJ Campbell, guard for the Longhorns. You've got edge Trey Moore, and you got linebacker Anthony Hill as well.
Best linebacker, in my opinion, in the draft.
Yeah, him. I can see
he can do it all. Man, he can rush the quarterback, and play middle linebacker, play everywhere.
A little bit more on Sonny Styles, but I definitely like Anthony Hill Jr.
He can play everywhere.
Yeah,
off ball in a 4-3 system, he can play the middle. He can play outside. He can do anything you want him to.
Right, right. Then you got Southeast Louisiana taking on number three LSU. Got Garrett Nussmeier. You got wide receiver Aaron Anderson, who I think is very underrated. Very, very underrated. And maybe as Nussmeier improves this year and gets him the ball more, he will probably be a lot more effective and he'll start shooting up boards. I really like this Aaron Anderson kid, and he impressed me a lot in that Florida game. Barry and Brown, the other wide receiver they got. Whit Weeks, who got tossed out of the game against Florida for targeting, which I think was a good call.
And the other Weeks was hurt. It was the freshman Weeks to play.
Yeah, Wes Weeks, yeah. But yeah, Whit Weeks, he's really good. Linebacker Harold Perkins, who is a very good blitzer. He was terrorizing Lagway. And then Mansoor Delay in the corner for the Tigers.
One thing about LSU, they can always recruit. Just because even when they didn't have a defense a couple years ago, they've shored that up this year. But
yeah.
A couple years ago when Jaden Daniels wins the Heisman, you know, you have guys, you know, like Malik Nabers,
right.
Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, mm-hmm. they can recruit
got somebody.
At LSU,
and,
man.
And Aaron Anderson is a very good receiver. Barry and Brown's a good receiver. Yeah, they got some guys. Florida takes on number four Miami as well in the primetime slate. Trey Wilson, wide receiver for them, and then Caleb Banks, the defensive tackle for the Gators.
Don't sleep on Caleb.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, Caleb is a disruptor, man. He's a gamer. For Miami, Carson Beck, quarterback. Francis Maui-Goa, tackle. And then edge rusher Reuben Bain Jr., who's kind of been on a tear this year. He's definitely been one of the better edge rushers in this class this year. Someone who could definitely put himself in that moneymaker category for sure. I mean, I think the U's probably is for sure in the playoff.
Some nice quality wins.
They got a lot of talent there. I think they're for sure in the playoff. We'll see what they do when they get there.
And Muyaga's been playing right tackle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's Maui-Goa. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason why I think he's an interesting guy to watch out for.
There would be maybe a need for
the
that.
The Chiefs could probably use a right tackle at some point this year in the offseason. Maybe Maui-Goa ends up being that guy. So that's it for the watch list for week four. And that is it for this week's episode of the Character Concerns podcast. Next week, we're going to react to it's Sunday night. Yeah, they play Sunday night. Hopefully, we're talking about a Chiefs win and great performances from the Chiefs rookies in week three against the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football. And also, hopefully, we're talking about some great performances for some.
I want
great
to shout out to Jeremy players. From Twitter that hit me up talking about us talking about Tucker Kraft from the first year we did Character Concerns.
Yep.
Because I remember you guys talking about Tucker Kraft on Character Concerns. So I appreciate you that listening,
was, that
Jeremy.
Was, that was your guy, Bink. And
thank you.
You were the first one to put him out there. And yeah, he's been awesome this year. He was a guy I would have been very comfortable with.
There's
the
some
Chiefs taking a tight end.
There's some whiffs. There's some hits.
Oh, yeah. We get whiffs all the
just
time.
Just like GMs.
Hey, our guy, Cam Ward, he looked pretty damn good yesterday.
He did, man.
He had some nice throws yesterday.
We've liked him for 2 years.
And my guy, Elik Iyemanner, caught a touchdown yesterday.
That's right. You like some Iyemanner?
Yeah, I like me some Iyemanner. And he has been – he won the starting job for them opposite Calvin Ridley. And he has been getting a lot of targets. And he – caught his first touchdown last week. So.
It's been fun to watch some yesterday. Of these Character Concerns guys that we really high on.
Dude, when I watch Red Zone every week and I see the players that we talk about get their time to shine, I'm like, my guy right there. Like I'm telling you, there's a lot
it's
of these
fun.
Guys.
There's
I'm
some
really
misses, clearly
about.
Some misses.
And yeah, we'll have some. You'll have some
because you get your favorite guys, and they end up turning out to be crap.
Yeah, you'll have some every year.
But
that
we're not
aren't
watching
good.
Them. We're not watching them. We're not. At the combine, talking to him, we're just hey, we see, what we see.
Yeah,
like we thought Will Levis sucked, and he's hurt.
He's not a starting quarterback in this league right now. So yeah,
they go back to the well of Cam Ward.
Hey,
he was in Kansas City. It was our first Character Concerns year, and he leaves before he was drafted.
I railed against JJ McCarthy all throughout the draft process in 24.
He looks great.
And
he's hurt now, by the way.
Sucks. He sucked last night against the Falcons. He had a good second half against the Bears.
That was a crappy game.
But
man.
Last night's game, he was so bad in that game. And that was just a field goal fest the entire game. But yeah, he was so bad last night. I remember watching it. I was like, I felt bad for him, but I also was smiling because I was like, I was right about him. Because he is not a good NFL. At least maybe he fixes it, and maybe he ends up being a decent quarterback. He ends up being a Garoppolo type, a Purdy type. But boy, he does not look like an NFL quarterback right now, and he looks like he's a little in over his head sometimes. So did make some good throws here and there, but overall not very good the first 2 weeks from McCarthy. So I feel a little vindicated in that because a lot of people thought he was a first-round top 10 pick. You know, which obviously he was from a pick standpoint, but certainly not from a talent standpoint. So we'd appreciate it if you liked, subscribe, download it on whatever platform you listen to us on. We also appreciate it you tell your friends and family about it. We very much love doing this podcast, and we enjoy the fact that you guys are here with us along this ride. We are a month into the college football season. Almost.
Well, week four this week.
Yeah,
four?
With week zero, it's a month now. So,
and we're starting. There's some teams still playing some non-con. We'll start getting some strict conference games. There's been a few here and there, but
October is going to be great for football.
Then you had K-State that was playing a conference team, but it wasn't a conference game because it was scheduled before Arizona joined the Big 12.
So, you know, we're really excited about the season. We're glad it's going on. Week two was fun to watch. Aside from the Chiefs game and. You know what? It's time to go home, watch this doubleheader for Monday Night Football. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Ocero. This has been the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.